Word Alive podcast, and I am Pastor Wilbur Allen III. So happy today to have a very good friend of mine as our guest. That is in the person of Pastor Michael Presley. He serves the historic Mount Zion Church of God in Christ. Matter of fact, in October, the congregation has entered into its 90th year. Mount Zion is the second established Church of God in Christ congregation in Canton. Pastor Presley has been serving the congregation for 11 years. He is the founder of the Hope Initiative, and that's what he's going to be talking to us about. And in addition to that, he has initiated a community back-to-school health fair. Started back in 2021 during the pandemic. There is two health fairs per year, one in the northeast quadrant of Canton, as well as the southeast quadrant of Canton. Pastor Presley, I'm so happy to have you with us on our podcast.
Thank you for having us.
You are very much involved in the community, and we're all saints. We're so happy to be able to even partner with you. What I really would love to talk today about is the Hope Initiative. And if you could share with us, what is the Hope Initiative?
Well, again, we thank you so much for this time. And I'm going to have to go back before I start talking about the Hope Initiative.
Okay.
The Hope Initiative comes out of our Zion Community Development Initiative, which is a part of the Mount Zion Church of God in Christ. It is our 501c3 arm of our local ministry. Now, Zion CDC, we work in the community. Our mission is to change the community by saving one family at a time. And because we were in the community working, the Lord opened up a door for us to come up with the Hope Initiative. The Hope Initiative came through a partnership we had with Canton City Public Health. It really started when we start working with them to get the individuals in our community, the African-Americans, to come and take the COVID vaccination, which you understand was very tough.
Yes.
So we partnered with them, and we basically got the community to say, this is something we need. So many of us were dying.
Yes.
So the pandemic came. And during the pandemic, it was something that we forgot about. During the time of the pandemic, there was an opiate epidemic that was taking place in our community. And it kind of got put back on the back burner. People kind of forgot about the opiate epidemic. So in working with the health department, we wanted to do something about what we call the disparity in the African-American community when it came to individuals dying from drug overdoses due to opiate abuse. So we got with them and we came up with our own coalition, which is a group of community activists, basically the faith community, coming together and sitting down saying, what can we do to combat this opiate epidemic, which is just destroying our community? So we got together and we came up with the Hope Coalition. Hope is an acronym for health, overdose, prevention, education. So what we're doing with this, we are trying to get to the people in the community, educate, do some intervention and prevention, and to save lives. I believe Hosea said that our people die because of a lack of knowledge or information. So what we're trying to do, we're trying to get the information out to our people and let them know this is what's killing us and this is what we can do to turn it around. We wish we could just stop it all at once, but we understand it's going to be a work in progress. There's that old adage, how do you eat an elephant? And you eat it one bite at a time. And that's how we're approaching this opiate epidemic. If we can save one person, if we get one person to change their mind, change their lifestyle, you know, we can save that one person and then move on to the next person. So the Hope Initiative takes us into the community. And into the community, we do what we call pop-ups. Anytime we hear there has been an overdose in the area, we take our forces to that community. We set up a pop-up and we offer a product called Narcan. And you're familiar with Narcan.
Oh, yes.
Narcan is a nasal spray which actually reverses an overdose. So if a person is overdosing with a couple of shots from this nasal spray, it will revive that person. One thing we're fighting against is fentanyl. Fentanyl is powerful. And fentanyl usually only gives them one chance. Mm. And once that person hits the fentanyl, we tend to lose them. Mm. So we're trying to educate. This is what you look out for. This is what you need to do. And we give out tons. And we want to thank All Saints for being a partner with us, helping us to distribute and get the Narcan out in our community to help us save lives. So that's the gist of the HOPE initiative, just dealing with the overdoses that are happening in the African American community.
How has the community responded to the distribution as well as the information regarding Narcan and the implications of this opioid crisis?
The community as a whole, they're open to it. You're always going to have that pocket that when you try to approach them with something like this, they get very defensive and they think that you're saying that you're a drug user. Mm. And we always have to explain that it's not so much for you, but it's to help us save those that are around you who may be struggling with opiates. It's sad to say, at first, we had a very negative response from the faith community. The reason we had a negative response from them, they felt that we were condoning drug use. And I said, I just go to scripture. You know, Jesus gave us one mandate, and that was to save lives and bring them into the kingdom. And you can't save a life of a person who is dead.
Yes.
So it's not that we're condoning drug usage, because we know as long as a person is not born again, you know, they are inclined to sin. And drug usage is a fruit of sin. If we can give them another chance, that next chance to call Christ, they interviewed me on WHBC and they asked me about Narcan. And this is what I told them. I said, the way Narcan works, it can stay in a person's system for up to 90 minutes, Pastor. Okay. 90 minutes. After the 90, you understand this. After 90 minutes, the Narcan can wear off. That person could go back into the overdose process that they were going through and they could die. And we tell them, even though the Narcan can keep them for 90 minutes, Jesus Christ can give them eternal life.
Yes,
and that's
yes.
where we have to look at it. So anytime I was getting any pushback from the faith community, I told them Christ told us to save lives.
Yes.
And that's what we're doing. You know, you have to be wise to win souls.
That's true.
And we have found out those individuals that we have helped, they tend to come back around. You develop a rapport with them. They trust you. And one thing in our community, you know as well as I do, our people respond better to someone who looks like them.
That's true. That's true.
And at first, when we first started, you had to come to our church. And we realized that was not working. So I said, you know what, let's do this. In a sense, we took on that evangelism spirit. Let's take it to where the problem is.
That's right.
And that's where we started hitting the streets. You would be surprised of some of the responses. If they're doing that, they deserve to die. I'm not going to waste my time trying to help a person that indulges in those things. You get that kind of response, and you just move to the next person. That's what you have to do. But overall, the response is positive because now it's starting to hit home. A lot of people are starting to hit home. Now it's not that person across the street. Now it's their family. Mm-hmm. And one part that people overlook, Pastor, most people think it's for individuals who are using drugs in a recreational setting. And we're explaining to them, I like to use my father as an example. A lot of your elderly citizens that are in pain, their doctors have them on pain management.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember they told my dad, and he was about 89, 90 years old, his back was always hurting. I mean, really hurting him. They had him on prednisone, all those things. And the doctor told him, take as needed. You tell an 89-year-old man who is in pain 24/7 to take a pain pill as needed, As far as my dad was concerned, I need a pain pill every hour.
Of course.
And I eventually had to take over his medication because I once took him to get more meds. And they said, sir, you should only be halfway through this. Mm. So we're finding many elderly citizens are getting addicted to opiates. You know, your opiates are basically codeine, morphine, heroin, any pain, any narcotic falls in that category. And when you're in pain management, those are the kind of drugs that they give an individual. Mm-hmm. So you have 70, 80, 90-year-old people just popping these pills, you know, and they find themselves addicted and maybe even in a state of overdosing. But Narcan, you keep Narcan in your car. You keep Narcan in your home. I went to the McDonald's, one of the local McDonald's, and couldn't get in the bathroom. Had to have a manager come and open the door. I said, why? Well, people were ODing in the bathroom. It had got to the point where they were finding people in cars, their children in the car seats, the parent in the front seat, totally out, ODing, because this epidemic is just coming through our community and killing us. Now, I want everybody to understand, even though the Hope Coalition is targeting the African-American community because of the disparity that has always been in our community, we understand that this problem is not exclusively in the African-American community. It's everywhere.
Yes, yes.
Especially in the communities of those who are economically poor. I mean, it's all in that community.
Yes.
But we are hitting the African-American community. If you don't mind, can I give you a couple of stats? I'd like to write down.
Oh, by all means, by all means.
Since 2016, the percentage of total unintentional overdose deaths that were identified as African-American have nearly quadrupled, not doubled, and not tripled. They have quadrupled since 2016. Have you read that in the newspaper?
No.
Have you seen that on the news?
No.
And again, we're dealing with the disparity there is between the African-American community and the white community. We see those things. It jumped from like 5.9%, I believe, in 2016 to like 20% in 2021, 2022. We even in Stark County, it quadrupled. Just deaths from opiate overdoses. So here we are as African Americans leading out again, the same way the COVID epidemic hit our community. This is hitting it the same way. So we're taking our resources, and you and I know with our ministries being where we're located in the Southeast Quadrant.
That's right.
You know what's sad, Pastor? Canton is not a sprawling metropolitan area. Mm-mm. We are not Detroit, Cleveland, Chicago. It doesn't take me to get in my car. To get in my car, it doesn't take me an hour to so get from one end of Canton to the other, end. That's but even here, because of that disparity, people in our quadrant have problems getting to where the resources are because the resources are not in our community. To catch a bus from the Southeast Quadrant to go out to the Belden Village area, that's two or three different transfers.
That's right.
Which means they have to buy those things. But if those resources were in our community, where I could walk there in 10, 15 minutes, and as you alluded to earlier, that's why we start having the big health fairs
in
Crenshaw Park. And you see the resources that we bring. All of the health community comes, and we offer all of those resources to our community. So you don't want me to start talking about food deserts and things that are not readily available in our community. And so Zion CDC, along with the Hope Coalition, along with faith partners like yourself, we're trying to combat this by coming together saying, look here, you don't have to go all the way over there. We're bringing it to where you are.
It's interesting you brought up those stats I think that's very important. Considering that, if you could share with us as to how potent this drug is and how easy it is for an individual to overdose on this. I remember we were one of the HOPE meetings, and actually, it was a training you had here at All Saints.
That's right.
And you shared as to how easy it is for a person to overdose. If you could share some information about that, how potent that drug is.
Well, you think about it. Again, the difference between recreational drugs and drugs that your doctors are prescribing.
Yes.
That's how easy it is. Mm-hmm. And as easy as it is for us to get it, just think about our children that are in our homes, how easy mm-hmm. it is for them to get it.
Oh, yes.
And again, seeing that it's a narcotic, something that you're using for pain medication, it's easy to fall into a trap where you're taking it and you're taking it, you're feeling better, and then you find yourself ODing and don't even know it because most people don't know the symptoms of what's going on. I mean, by the time you realize what's happening, it's too late. As a matter of fact, one gentleman came to our tent right on the corner of Sherrick and Cherry, right outside the Hall of Fame gas station.
Yeah.
And he told us he had OD'd four times.
Oh, my.
Within 2 months. Wow. And he looked like he was on the verge of doing it again. Mm. And he said, Narcan saved my life every time. But he said, the only thing bad about it is that if you're by yourself, Narcan is not going to do you any good. Because you know through the training, we told you, you administer it because that person is unconscious.
That's right. That's right.
So if the person is unconscious, they can't administer the Narcan to themselves.
That's right.
So that's why you're finding so many people that are dying from this. Because narcotics are that easy to get your hands on. Mm-hmm. You go to any corner. And the scary part is there's something called fentanyl.
Yes.
Which is... has double the potency of heroin.
Mm.
So fentanyl does not give you a second chance. Mm. Of course, right now, we know the story of the young man who was locked up and he was incarcerated, got a hold of something that was laced with fentanyl. He died.
Mm.
Left a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old.
Mm.
And that's what we're combating. That not only are we losing the adults, but we lose their children, which is the future of our community.
Mm-hmm.
So it is so easy. And as we was explaining to you guys, most of the time, two shots from the nasal spray would reverse
mm-hmm.
the overdose. But some people have really, they're so deep in, we had to go to a higher milligram. And I think I gave you some of those
mm-hmm,
for the individuals who are really out there and you had to give them another dose or a couple of more nasal sprays to bring them out of the overdose.
Mm.
So it is destroying, again, the African-American community. We are the ones that is hitting us. And we just thank God that he gave us favor with the health department, opened the door. And right now, I would say Zion Community Development, through the HOPE Coalition, we are probably the number one distributor of Narcan in Stark County.
Yeah, I believe that. I do believe that. Well, it's really interesting because there have been stories where even police officers administer Narcan.
Yes.
And they have been trained and they run across that quite a bit. It's very interesting how this whole opioid issue isn't in the news.
Well,
it's almost like it's a non-issue. And once I began working with you, I became aware as to how widespread this is.
Yes. Well, you see some of your pharmaceutical companies have actually been sued. In Ohio, I think there was a major suit against some of your pharmaceutical people who produce the narcotics. And there was an actual class action suit. Ohio was one of the states that really got hit hard with the opiate epidemic. Those things you're not going to see it in your local newspaper a lot of times. You have to stay on your news networks, your CNNs and stuff like that to find out what's going on. Because your big pharmacies are making money.
Yes.
You know, selling, and probably the one that people probably are most, that you hear about the most is OxyContin.
Yes.
If you
yes.
remember when OxyContin hit the market, mm-hmm. people were dying left and right.
Yes.
A lot of doctors lost their license for the way that they illegally distributed OxyContin. So those kind of things were going on. And then you get the black market drugs.
Yes.
And that's where a lot of your people are dying. And the thing, I was talking about fentanyl. A lot of the drugs today are being laced with fentanyl. Mm. And we actually hand out fentanyl strips. Again, we are not condoning drug usage. That's but we right. do condone saving lives. And listen, if they're not born again, as I said before, we're That's all right. born with the disposition of sin, which means we would be inclined to sin.
That's right. That's right.
If they know Christ, they can easily, you know, exactly. be using recreational drugs. And again, as I said earlier, Pastor, it's not the recreational drugs as much as individuals who are getting prescribed opiates through their doctors for pain.
That's true. Yes, yes. Well, I really find important about this HOPE initiative is the faith community is involved in this.
Yes.
In terms of addressing this opioid issue. Because I think there's several churches, am I correct, that's involved in this?
Correct. We have a coalition of pastors, mm-hmm. and they reached out to us. It's probably about 7 pastors.
Okay.
That we've come together, and they felt that we understood our community, mm-hmm. and I respected them for that. They said, you guys are the eyes and the ears mm-hmm. of those communities. You yeah. hear, you see things that we don't. And as a matter of fact, the individuals will respond better to somebody who looks like them.
Yes.
So we've come together, and our goal, and that's why we thank you, our goal is to take this teaching into every African-American assembly in Canton, Ohio.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
And make them aware of what's going on. And you know, a lot of people fight it until it hits home.
Yes.
Then when it hits home, they're ready to go. But I'm saying get ahead of the curve. Start educating your people. You know, start letting your people know this is what's killing us. This is what's killing us. So yes, we have about 7 pastors that are part of this coalition. You are one of the pastors.
Yes.
That are part of the coalition. And our job is to educate our congregations.
Yes.
And in turn, our congregation can go and they can educate other people.
Yes, yes.
And we can fight this. For a minute, there was a slight dip in overdoses, but we're going into the holiday season.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what happens in the holiday season.
Oh, yes.
Depression is always increases. Suicides always increase during this time of the year. And if I can digress for a moment, one thing we're doing that you're aware of, we're having our Hope for the Holidays.
Yes, yes.
And the Hope for the Holidays, we are reaching out to families that may have lost a family member due to overdose with opiates. And we're going to try to bring some joy. Of course, it's a Christ-centered holiday celebration, and we want them to, hey, here's somebody who cares about you and your family. We're going to take care of their complete holiday season for them. We're going to acknowledge those who have passed on, and we're going to encourage those that are still here. We will probably have a couple of individuals give testimonies who were ODing and were able to reverse the overdose, and they're here today. And we're going to have them talk about their experience. But we want it to be a festive occasion, Christ-centered, and we're just going to give them all the love, all the support that we can give them. And in turn, they will take it and take it to other people and say, we know where hope is, and we know where help is for individuals like you.
It's Hope for the Holidays, correct?
Hope for the Holidays.
What is the date of that?
It will be December 17th.
December 17th?
5 p.m. Now, it is invitation only.
Okay.
It's only
okay.
15 slots. We have about 7 slots available left.
Okay.
And you know that, and again, because our grant is exclusively for the disparity in the African-American community, we are targeting African-American families. We know the problem is every place else, but those numbers I gave you, those alarming numbers,
yes, yes,
you know, let us know that the African-American population in Starr County alone was 100% of the deaths per 100,000 people.
Wow.
That's a 2-to-1 ratio of African-American to white.
You say you have 17 slots left or remaining?
No, we had 15 slots from the beginning. Mm-hmm. We have 7 slots left.
If there's if a listener knows of a family who meets that criteria, who should they contact?
Contact me. It's so important. I'm giving out my personal phone number.
Okay.
And that number is 330-671-1979.
What is that number again?
330-671-1979.
So, folks, if you know of a family that has lost a loved one to an opioid overdose, please contact Pastor Michael Presley. And that number is 330-671-671. I'm sorry.
Everybody does that. 671. Okay.
67. I'll start over. 330-671-1978.
1979.
I'm struggling a little bit.
330-671-1979. And Pastor, also, this is a community-led coalition. It's not just pastors, and it's not just agencies. We want individuals from the community to be a part of this coalition.
Yeah.
So every fourth Wednesday night at 5 p.m., every fourth Wednesday of the month, we meet, the coalition meets at the downtown library, the main library.
That's right.
We meet. We need your help. We need your input. We need your insight. Most of all, we need your passion.
Yes.
We want to see lives saved. Come and be part of this coalition and help us save lives. Every fourth Wednesday, 5
every fourth Wednesday, for every fourth Wednesday, 5 p.m. at the downtown library here in Canton.
Yes, sir.
Well, folks, I hope you have gained some information from Pastor Presley regarding hope and this opioid crisis. Pastor, I must request if we could close with a prayer, if you could pray at this time.
All right. Just this past Sunday, I did a Bible study where he tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Oh, yes.
And Paul gives us the hierarchy
of
our adversary.
Yes.
And the one that stuck out is said principalities.
Mm.
And principalities are angels that have been given geographical areas in which they are to kill, steal, and destroy in those areas. And we have come to find out that this principality, this opiate principality, has a stronghold over this nation, especially in the African American communities. And in this prayer, we're coming against that principality, that is coming to kill, steal, and destroy. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, first of all, we worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for your favor and for your grace. Father, we thank you that you have given us the authority over these principalities that have tried to take up residence in our homes, in our communities, and even in our churches with this opiate epidemic. But now we take authority over it, and we speak life and not death. We pray for those who may be struggling with opiate or any other type of substance abuse, that through you they would find victory, that through you they will find a way out. So we pray now, Lord, that you use us as instruments, as vessels, to go into the highways, to go into the hedges. For you have given us an assignment that we should save lives and lead people to Jesus Christ. So we pray those that have heard this word tonight would cry out and say, Lord, what must I do to be saved? And that you would put us in a position that we could be the vehicle or the voice through that you would use to save souls. So again, we thank you and we praise you for victory over this opiate epidemic. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen.
Amen. Pastor Presley, thank you for being on this podcast.
Thank you.
And I pray that our audience would be informed and even inspired to work to eliminate this crisis.
All right.
Well, folks, we thank you for listening. Now, please remember, go to allsaintstemple.org. We have other podcasts. We have Bible studies as well as virtual worships. Blessings to each and to every one of you.